with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is our number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Fun first hour. Thank you to Tim Murray and also Chris Sims, who we had on in the last segment. Chris Sims, of course, NFL analyst at NBC. You see him on Football Night in America each and every Sunday night right before Sunday Night Football. Fun first hour with him. We'll have a fun second hour. Matt Eumanns is going to join us in 30 minutes, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. But Michael, there's something that was interesting that you asked Chris Sims in the last segment about the New York Jets. Can they hang with the Buffalo Bills? Mm-hmm. He thinks that they can. He sees this being sort of an ugly football game. The total will tell you that this could be an ugly football game. It's down to 39.5. But the side is where this thing really gets interesting. Do you think that the betting market has a blind spot when it comes to the Buffalo Bills? Because Buffalo, once again, is getting bet. Like this is like the bounce back is here, according to the betting market. They're now 7.5 after being 7 pretty much the whole week.
They were 7 all week. In fact, when you put that graphic up, I was surprised to see the 7.5. I mean, this is not typical. I do Christopher Russo every Friday in this contest, and if he can cheat a number, God knows he's going to cheat a number. I mean, he got Denver at -2. All I've ever seen Denver is 2.5, but somehow he found that -2. He got it, you know. And
shop around.
But he took the Jets this week, and he cheated himself out of 0.5 points. I don't know how the hell he did it. He was probably too busy patting himself on the back. But I think this, I don't know how you take the Jets. He gave me this line. I was worried you were going to take the Jets, you know. I said, you don't have to worry about me taking the Jets, not in Buffalo, not when you know that Josh Allen has 45 wins over 7 points. Okay, that you know that when you break down Robert Saleh, or however you want to say it, when he goes against the AFC East, it's not good. He's 6-22 as a dominant Jet coach against the East. He's 11-21 against the spread. Like, I'm not going there. And then when I was peeling back the numbers on Zach Wilson this week, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he is going from bad to badder. Right. And especially when the game speeds up. Right. When he's in third down, on third down, he's a 52% completion thrower. He's only, you know, he's thrown 8 interceptions. He's been sacked 50 times. He's fumbled. You know, he's not been able, and he only has gotten 13 first downs in his career on third down. I mean, it's not good. And so for me, you know, he's 2-1 against Buffalo. That's his record. Okay. Mm-hmm. 39-66 in passing, 5.77 yards per play. 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's been sacked 12 times now. He's run the ball 11 times for 54 yards. He may have to do that. He may have to run with it. But I just don't see how they're going to be. If Buffalo scores 24, how do the Jets get to 20 to get to 17?
Well, can Buffalo score 24? Because the last few times we've seen them play this New York Jets defense, it hasn't gone well for the Buffalo Bills. And you can say like a lot of the Buffalo kind of problems kind of stem back to when they played the Jets in the Meadowlands last season when Allen hurt the elbow near the end of the game. And it's kind of been downhill and it's been rocky for Buffalo ever since that point. Like, do the Jets just know how to play the Bills?
Well, they never change what they do, Femi. They're a cover 3, 8-man front team. That plays a zone concept that becomes man. They're going to have a middle of the field close. They rarely blitz. You got to beat them with your players. You're going to have to beat them with talent. And I think because they do that, it becomes a problem for Buffalo because Buffalo, you know, Buffalo is what Christopher Sims says and what I said. They run beaters. They just run plays that beat a coverage. They don't have an offense. They never really have because they can't really control the line of scrimmage. I think is where Buffalo has hard time more with the Jets than anything is because their offensive line struggles to block the Jets and they won't run the football. Whereas New England beats the Jets, they rush for 154 yards. You know, it's one of the one game where Mac Jones actually played good in New York. So I think that's the matchup. Yes, I agree. The Jets are a good matchup against Buffalo, mm-hmm. but you're going to have to let Wilson throw the ball a little bit to beat them. You know, and I think that's going to be hard. I think that's going to be, look, let me say this. If the Bills lose to the Jets at home or it looks bad, that's not going to be good for McDermott at all. This is one of those where you can't have a bad loss here. We've talked about this on the pod quite a bit. Right, there's sometimes as a head coach, you can't have a bad loss. I thought Arthur Smith's loss in Arizona last week, throwing for 70 yards against a secondary that's one of the worst in football, a pressure rate that's 32nd in the league, that's a bad loss. If you're the general manager and you look at that, right? You can't do that. And if McDermott doesn't play well today, and I think the betting public thinks this is one of those moments the team has to play well, I think it's in trouble. I will say this too, Femi. I thought Josh Allen was great. He took accountability. He took responsibility for Dorsey getting fired. I mean, to me, that's what you want in your best player.
Yeah. To me, I think just like when I look at the market here, and maybe I'm not going to bet the game. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But to me, it would honestly be Jets or pass. And pass is also a fair option just because usually in this spot, when you have a team like Buffalo who's suffered bad losses in consecutive weeks, you get a discount in the market, kind of similar to what we talked about with the Niners last week, where Niners had 3 straight losses. Now they're only 2.5-3 at Jacksonville because the market's a little bit sour on them because they haven't seen them play that well. Buffalo hasn't played well at all, but you're not getting the discount. You're still getting Buffalo at a premium. I mean, the look ahead on this was 6.5. Now you have to pay even more than that, and this is after they lost to Denver. Well, to where it's like, well, like, man, this is like, I don't think I could ever lay it.
But the betting market looks at that win against the Giants as a joke. I mean, the Jets are 1-2 in the last 3 games, but really they should be 0-3.
Yeah,
the Jets haven't had a game where they've had more than 18 first downs all year. They haven't had a game where they've had more than 18 first downs all year. You know, I mean, if you could put cones out there and they're not going to get 18 first downs. And I think a lot of this is basically the Jets historically are a bad road team. You know, they're 24-39-4 on the road since 2015. They don't cover. They don't cover on the road. I mean, everything's stuck. And then, you know, the head coach is a bad ATS coach and a bad straight up coach, especially against the AFC East.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of those kind of come together. I mean, I know a lot of people that like the Buffalo Bills here, Russo took the Jets. So I got my Buffalo Bill pom-poms out tomorrow. I'll be rooting like crazy. I mean, you know, I'm going to call Luke Russert up and see if I can join the Bills Mafia for a day.
Exactly. Call up our guy, Luke. We'll go ahead and do it. We'll circle the wagons tomorrow in Western New York. But yeah, no, I think, and maybe this ultimately is a pass for me, but yeah, it's an interesting market. I think the side is interesting because you do have two teams that feel like they're on the downward spiral here, both the Jets and the Bills. Maybe it is that loser leaves match that we talk about sometimes here on the Lombardi Line, but let's put that game off to the side here. I can't wait to watch that one. Honestly, let's talk about the one in the AFC North though. That definitely is very high leverage based on what's happened over this past week here. It's the Steelers at the Browns. Cleveland, a 1-point favorite over at DraftKings, Michael. Cleveland's now a 2-point favorite. So the betting market is interested in backing Dorian Thompson-Robinson in this spot against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have yet to outgain an opponent so far this season, despite being 6-3. You got that smile on your face. What do you think about this AFC North clash tomorrow in Northeast Ohio?
This is what I would call a right and left brain game. Your right brain's telling you to bet the Browns, right?
Yep.
That the Steelers' numbers look bad, yada, yada, yada. You know, you may get DeJuan Jones, you get the left tackle back, so you're going to get healthy. You know, the defense is going to stop them. They rushed for 55 yards in the last game. Should have won the last game if we don't turn it over. We just hand the ball off 3 times and punt. We'll beat them because Pickett will turn the ball over and we'll dominate them. That's the right brain. The left brain's saying, Mike Tomlin's on the other sideline. They love ugly games. Those tackles can't block. The Steelers pass rush. The Steelers are going to create turnovers. They're going to do exactly what they did the last game. And you're like, okay, who do I listen to? Right or left brain? Like, I don't know who to listen to, right? I went back through the game again. The most points the Steelers scored all year was in this game because their defense scored 14, right? The most turnovers they created in the end all year this year was 4 is in this game. And then you factor in losing Quan Alexander and losing Kelly Holcomb, the inside linebacker. That's an issue, right? So that's the green dot guy. That's the guy who's going to make the calls. And you're worried about that. And so when you're turning, when the left brain says take Pittsburgh, you're taking Vrabel, but they can't run the ball. You're taking Tomlin, and they can't run the ball. You're taking, you know, Pickett now and a passing game. I don't know. Your right brain says take Cleveland. You're taking Thompson Robinson, who basically threw for 3.5 yards per attempt in his last start, had three interceptions and only six first downs against a really good team. I mean, I think the only play is an under here.
Yeah, I mean, the under might be the only play in this game here. And also no Minka Fitzpatrick as well for the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. So you talk about all these green dot guys, and then you have Minka Fitzpatrick, who's the quarterback of the secondary.
Right.
And maybe that's why Pittsburgh was giving up some of those explosive last week against Green Bay, who we had saw have no explosive plays. All of a sudden, they're getting chunk yardage in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, and look, let's face it. The Steelers, they have now 6 one-score wins. You know, I mean, they just know how to win ugly. And that's something that's hard to duplicate. There's confidence. They can't wait to get the game into the fourth quarter. I'm telling you, if Watson played or if Thompson Robinson plays, it's not going to matter. The game's going to look exactly the same. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly.
I mean, Dorian Thompson Robinson, he got all the reps in practice this week. Maybe it looks a little bit better, but based on what we saw against
Baltimore. Not when Watt's coming around the corner, could it look good? They ran for 55 yards in the last game. Remember, Chubb got hurt in that game, right? And so they were going to run. Now, they ran for 178 against Baltimore. See, the difference is you can't run the ball on Cleveland. It's hard to. Pittsburgh's going to have a hard time running the ball. So where's Pittsburgh get their offense from?
E.J. Watt. That's where they get their offense from.
I think that's right. I think that's the right answer.
Yeah, can we get? Is there an anytime touchdown score, DJ Watt, that we can bet in this game perhaps? The total's at 33. It looks like it's a preseason game, to be honest, when you look at the side and the total. But it's a fun game nonetheless, and a game that actually has a lot of implications for the AFC North and the AFC wild card as well. All right, we'll get to the Lombardi look ahead next here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here on a college football Saturday. Matt Youmans will be joining us in studio in the next segment with his college football and NFL card. Matt Youmans, our proud Purdue Boilermaker here at the network. Also, speaking of Purdue, Tim Murray did have Northwestern +3. One of the reasons for the line movement here, Michael, the reason is that Purdue quarterback Hudson Card and one of their linebackers will not be playing in this game. So that's why you see Northwestern go from +3 to now Northwestern laying 2.5, depending on where you do your shopping. So just a little bit of injury news in college football. Mm-hmm. They don't have as structured an injury report as the NFL, obviously. So just wanted to let folks know about that stuff. Thank you to our listeners for letting us know about why we saw the massive line move this morning. But let's get into, though, the Lombardi look ahead here, Michael. And we'll start off with the game that you want no part of. And this one is in the NFC East.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last week I wanted no part of the Atlanta-Arizona game. And like an idiot, I took Atlanta because it kind of when we go back and forth, I don't take teams he takes and all that. So, and that was a mistake. They got 70 yards passing. That was a poor calculation on my part. So I deserve what I get. But this game, there's no way you're getting me to touch this. My question to you, Femi, is how in the hell can a team be a 9 or a 9.5 point favorite against another team that they only scored 7 points on in the last game? And let me add one more thing. This is a team that was 1 for 15 on third down against the team that's the 9.5 point dog. I mean, it makes no sense to me at all. Like, it makes sense that the Giants are terrible, right? It does. That makes perfect sense. They're not very good. You know, I don't care what Daboll says that Tommy DeVito gives us the best chance to play to win. The team's not buying that, right? The team's not buying that. We as fans and bettors, we don't understand that when the coach stands in front of the team and tries to con the team into believing the quarterback can win for him, unless that quarterback delivers, nothing happens. I mean, Kevin O'Connell had no idea what Joshua Dobbs was going to do. Now they believe in him, right? Yep. They believe in him. Sean Payton's gotten the team to back to believe in Russell Wilson again, okay? There's no belief in Tommy DeVito. Let's put clear here. There's no belief in Mac Jones up in New England. So, like, how is this 8? I mean, there's some 9.5s this morning when I was going through my notes. And so there's no way I would take Washington. Ron Rivera is a favorite. No chance, right? No way. They haven't been a favorite. I think it's probably, as Uncle Junior said, they haven't been a favorite since Moses wore short pants. I mean, this much of a favorite for Washington? Are you kidding me? So I don't want Washington. I definitely don't want New York. So
you don't
cue
want Tommy?
Up Daryl, cue up John. I mean, just sing it, baby, because there's no way.
So Giants Commanders, the official Hall & Oates play of week number 11. Tommy DeVito is why
can you do it?
Favorite.
Now let me see
it.
You, Mr. Four Game it. Watcher. Are you doing it?
No, I wouldn't do it with your money, Michael. I can't do it. I'm not doing it.
There's no way.
I'm not like, doing it.
I mean, look, I know bookmakers and pro people that do this for a living. They play numbers, right? That's what they do. They play numbers. But at some point, you've got to play the game too, right? Like, I get you want to play a certain number. I get playing Carolina in 10.5, that number against Dallas. And there's circumstances that go into it. You're not saying Carolina's going to win. You're just saying I like that number based on power rank. I get that. But this number, I don't know how you take it. There's no way. I'm not trusting Ron Rivera as a favorite.
No.
I mean, remember the opening game against the Cardinals where everybody was holding on to their breath?
For Survivor, you know, people were holding on.
I mean, the last game had 18 punts. There were 28 possessions in the last game. One fumble, one interception, two missed field goals, three touchdowns, two in the end of the half and the end of the game. I mean, that's what you got. And you want somebody to be better than 9, 8, more than a touchdown? I can't do it.
Not a chance. And you mentioned that game against the Cardinals. I believe they closed a 7-point favorite in that game there. And like you said, like it was hold on to your butts time. They needed some fumbles from Josh Dobbs to go ahead and win that football game, just to win, not even to cover, to win the game. And now they're laying. Some people took the 10 with DeVito. To them, I say, I get the number play and all that stuff. God bless you. Good luck. But
if you did that, let me just give you something else here. The Giants this year offensively, you know, when I got criticized for the disease of me, the Giants this year offensively, with everybody's happy and everybody's paid, right?
Yep.
They average 0.9 in the first quarter. But they come back in the second quarter like vengeance, and they average 3.3 points. And then in the third quarter, after some halftime adjustments, they go up to 3.7. And then they finish strong, and they average 3.9. Like, I mean, they can't score against anybody. I saw Aaron Schwartz say this. Yep. I don't know DVOA that well. I look at it. I don't understand it, but I look at it and I see how he power ranks teams. He said that this is the Giants are the 13th worst team, according to his data, through 10 games going back to 1981. I mean, that's compelling. And then when I looked at it, I said, okay, well, what about, like, let's see, what's the EPA, expected points, all that stuff? I mean, Tyrod Taylor was the best player. He played in this game the last time. They threw for 250 yards, but he got hurt. Now, who's replacing the 250? Taylor's 27th in EPA. Daniel Jones was 40th, slightly ahead of Tommy DeVito, who's 42nd.
I think the defense rests its case, Your Honor. I think it's a bad situation for Big Blue, but you're going to get Giants fans once again in your mentions here. So we got to move on to another game here, Michael. They're going to say that you're the biggest Giant hater of them all.
I am.
Yeah, you are. You should get a T-shirt. I hate the New York Giants. Let's get
That's
to the
so unfair.
Let's get to.
Why does the truth hurt so much? Why does it hurt so much?
I've been right about them for five years.
Yeah. Nobody wants to admit that.
I agree with you. But people, you know how they get with their teams. It's like a kid, you know? It's like, don't pick on my child. That's how they feel about their team. So they think that you're picking on their child, even though their child is the worst student in the class. Let's get to the line of the week here in the NFC North. That's the Bears and the Lions.
Well, I wrote this in there, and when I was talking about NFL games, the book rarely puts a bad number up, right? It looks like on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they might have put a bad number up, but typically they never do. Like, they power rank the game, you know, and every week, Millie says to me, how do they know it's so close? I say, I have no idea, right? But they put 10, and this line came storming down to 7.5. And I think I've given that stat out before where, you know, when the line moves 2.5 or 3 points away from a team to another team, that team is 48-97-3. Like, it doesn't always signal it's the right move. It's the right move. So this line, to me, seems fishy. Everybody's on the Bears. Fields comes back. Now, the last time they played in Detroit, let me give you some facts on that. You know, they got beat 41-10. Fields rushed for 200. He had 10 carries for 132 yards and 75 yards passing. The line was 6 in that game, okay? And when you go over all the Bears' numbers, now, this is the healthiest they'll be all year. They've been really good, and they're really good at playing run defense right now, the Bears. There's no question. But can they move the football? Can they play well enough up front? I thought 10 was a great number to take the Bears. I don't know if I take it at 7.5. I really don't. Will you?
No, I wouldn't. I think the juice has left that orange. We squeezed it all out there. I think, to me, I went ahead and played one of your classic toolbox uses, the teaser. We went ahead and teased Detroit down to 1.5 here in this game because, I think that Detroit, I want them to bet them to win the game, essentially. So that's how I sort of play this game. Like the Fields bump, I get it. But, yeah, Fields is back. There's a lot of excitement. I like Fields. So people think that maybe Chicago can be competitive in this game. But 7.5, I think that's a little bit too light of a number, but also don't
like
really
Fields. You just said you like Fields. Okay, how? You're a better. How can you like Fields? Let me just give you some numbers. Fields, he's 5. You know, his numbers against the spread are horrendous. I think he's 5-21-1 against the spread. I mean, you can't, as a betting man, as a man that represents a betting network, you have to be anti Justin Fields. He never wins for you. It would be like me saying, hey, I'm all in on Mac Jones.
I mean, they probably should have won last week, the Patriots, but I guess should have, could have, would have. I mean, Fields covered as a dog and won outright in our great nation's capital of Washington. So maybe that's more of a Rivera number than a Justin Fields number there.
That's why I won't take Washington. That's why I won't take Washington as an 8.5-point favorite.
It all circles back to the nation's capital and what's going on over there with the Washington Commanders. But Matt Eumanns will join us in studio. We'll find out who he's taking in the NFL and also in the college football next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi on the great state of New Jersey, and joining us in studio, doing a little bit of literature here, is our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of
VSiN
Tonight and also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast here. Would you like to read a passage here, Matt Eumanns?
Don't mind me. I'm just trying to get in some last minute reading before the weekend's games. Yeah,
I thought you're going to Hawaii. You taking with you on the plane to Hawaii, Matt?
That's a 5.5-6 hour trip. I need a book to read, so I will be taking this, Mike.
For those of you who are just listening, he is holding up Football Done Right, Michael's book that came out in September. If you don't have it by now, you're literally living under a rock. Get it for Christmas if you want to, but Football Done Right, get it wherever you get
your
book.
I'm reading the chapter right now on how to bet the Heisman.
Okay, you want to talk about that for a second? Let's do that.
No, that's
because my man over there. Okay, I got this. I've been waiting for this. I sent it to Elliot. He didn't put it in the rundown. He's trying to avoid it. He's doing like most of the media. He wants to avoid the obvious.
He's trying
right?
to keep us on track.
So when you go over Matt, when you go over Jaden Daniels' numbers compared to the past Heisman Trophy winners, mm-hmm. it's I mean, he's better than a lot of them. You know, average 408 point yards per game. You know, he's scored 230 points. He averages 23 points per game, which last year Caleb Williams was at 22.3. Bryce Young was at 20. I mean, Joe Burrow was at 26, but he's exactly where Kyler Murray was. His efficiency rating is 202.1. Last year, Caleb Williams was 168. But the year before that, Bryce Young was 167. Joe Burrow was 202.2. Those are the only two quarterbacks in the last 10 years that have had over a 200 efficiency rating. It's not close. This guy should be the Heisman Trophy winner. Now, I know he's on a bad team, but it's not close. These numbers absolutely say that. What would he do if he played at Oregon?
Well, yeah, he would put up the same type of numbers or better, even better against Pac-12 defenses. But
oh, come on. It's the best conference in America.
Well,
this week SEC that we're talking about here. I mean,
I tell you what, the Pac-12's most entertaining. You've got the best offensive football. The Big Ten's got the worst offensive football. But Jaden Daniels has been remarkable. You look at his numbers, you say, yeah, this guy's a Heisman winner. I just think right now it's going to depend on who wins these big games down the stretch. I mean, you got to handicap the voters. You got two West Coast quarterbacks, Bo Nix and Michael Penix. And who's going to win that Oregon-Washington Pac-12 title game? If it comes to that, it's probably going to be Oregon. And that's why Bo Nix is a favorite and Jaden Daniels is a second choice. That LSU blowout loss to Florida State early in the years, I think, sticks in the mind of a lot of people. And right or wrong, that might be why he doesn't win the Heisman. But I don't like the Heisman anyway. I think it's the most overrated award in sports. And it just comes down to which team wins the most games and who's the quarterback on that team. And I hate
exactly.
That. I hate that.
It's the best college player. Now, you know, I mean, now usually when you have a great player, that translates into a quarterback that can translate into wins. And certainly at LSU, Jaden Daniels has done that. But, you know, he gets knocked out in the Alabama game. He leads them back against what we now know is a really good Missouri team. That people are having trouble. I mean, even Georgia had trouble with Missouri, right? And so I think this. Oh, it's got to go to a team on the, no. I mean, these numbers, efficiency rating at 2.02. Joe Burrow was at 202.0. I mean, Johnny Manziel won it with a 155.3 efficiency rating.
Yeah,
no, Winston won it with 184. So, like, when you do the numbers and you take away what you were just saying there, that bias about now we've added a layer to it. You got to be able, on a winning team. Like, no, this is supposed to be the best college player.
Well, we can't fight it. The voters are going to do what they're going to do. So that's why the Bodacious campaign, it's trudging along here. We're heading towards New York. But let's table the NFL because we talked a lot of Heisman here. So let's just go with the college football card here, Matt. We'll go ahead and flip it and reverse it. Speaking of the Heisman, Michael Penix, he's up there among the favorites. His team, Washington, takes on Oregon State later on tonight in Corvallis. The Beavers, 1.5-point favorites right now there. Do you agree with that line move? Because a lot of people are saying, hey, why are the Huskies underdogs as the undefeated team in the Pac-12?
Yeah, I do. I think Oregon State should be a slight favorite. I don't like it necessarily. I was hoping the Beavers would be small dogs because I liked Oregon State's side, but so do a lot of other sharp handicappers I know. Oregon State has covered 16 of the last 17 at home, has won 9 straight. It's been a really dominant home field for the Beavers. And, you know, really, if you look at Washington, it's a team that's been on wobbly legs for about a month, and I've said this before, it barely escaped as a 4-touchdown favorite against Arizona State and Stanford. I thought got fortunate, caught a couple breaks late in the game in that 52-42 win at USC, and then last week trailed it to half to Utah. I'm not going to say the Huskies are leaking oil. I think that's true about Texas, but I do think Huskies are walking into a hornet's nest tonight at Reser Stadium in Corvallis. And if you look at the Oregon State defense, it's capable. And on offense, you've got Damian Martinez and Deshaun Fenwick, two running backs who are averaging 152 yards per game on the ground. The formula is there for Oregon State to win this game tonight.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned Texas, and they've got Iowa State, and a tough one here. And Iowa State's getting 7.5. And you like the Cyclones today.
I do. I like home dogs, and the Cyclones fit everything I'm looking for tonight. Like I said, though, I think the Longhorns are leaking oil down the stretch. They escaped and one score thrillers against Houston, Kansas State, and TCU the past few weeks. And two of those are bad teams, talking about Houston and TCU. And now your top running back, Jonathan Brooks, goes down for the year with a knee injury. He had 1,139 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns in 10 games, a big part of that offense. Your quarterback, Quinn Ewers, is playing through a right shoulder injury. And also you're catching an Iowa State team that's won four of the last five and has been playing much better football recently, and a defense that's allowed more than 20 points, I think, in only three games all season. I was impressed by the Cyclones. They put a 32-point beating on BYU and Provo a week ago. This is the type of home dog I typically look for. At night, it's going to be an electric atmosphere, and I think you got a Texas team coming in there that's a little wounded and shorthanded.
Texas right now in the thick of it in this college football playoff conversation as well. We're speaking with Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast here. How about another home dog over on Rocky Top? Georgia taking on Tennessee. The Vols now down to 9.5-point home dogs, total 58.5.
Well, I'm not quite as confident in Tennessee, but I can tell you there's a lot of sharp money on the home dog in this game. This number was 10.5. I thought it might go to 11 and went the other way yesterday, dropped to 9.5. And Tennessee is 6-0 at home, a few cupcake opponents in that 6-0 record. But Joe Milton, the quarterback, plays better, makes fewer mistakes at home. And this Georgia team, I'm still not convinced. I want to see the Bulldogs on the road against a good opponent in a hostile atmosphere. And they have played a soft schedule. We got Missouri at home. That's the toughest game Georgia's faced up to this point. And I think Tennessee's good enough on both sides of the ball to make this a one-score type of game where the Bulldogs got to sweat it out in the fourth quarter. It's going to be an interesting game in college football, interesting day when you got Georgia and Washington unbeatens on the road, and Texas is a one-loss team on the road. I think at least one of those teams, maybe two, gets knocked off today.
Wow.
Wow. I know you're on the Maryland lane and taking the 19.5. Mm-hmm. Do you think Michigan's coming out flat?
Well, it's a classic sandwich spot, Michael. When you look at, you're off that emotional win at Penn State, you got all the Jim Harbaugh distractions, and you got Ohio State on deck. And I have not been blown away by the Michigan offense anyway. I think Maryland with a little Tua, a quarterback, can do enough here to keep this game tight enough on the road. I've seen the Terps step up in big spots like this in the past, and I think they do it here. To me, it's more about a distracted, maybe emotionally flat Michigan team, not covering a big number on the road. So I just noticed that circa this number dropped from 19.5 to what, 17 or 17 yep. and a half this morning. And I would tend to agree with that. That's a big number to cover on the road for a team that's got off the Penn State game, it's got Ohio State on deck.
The game before the game here. Real quick here, we got about 40 seconds left in this segment. Duke and Virginia, it's a field goal game. The Blue Devils, the road favorite, total 45.5.
Yeah, Duke is off a crushing 2-overtime loss at North Carolina. Got screwed by the officials in that game. Should have won it. Now the Blue Devils go on the road for the second straight week against a Virginia team that's been really competitive in every game but one since late September. I'll tell you this, too. I also like Northwestern as a home dog against Purdue. And it just got announced, if you can still grab Northwestern +3, grab it. I think this number is going to be on the move. Hudson Card, the Purdue quarterback, has been ruled out today. And that's a pedestrian Purdue team that doesn't play well on the road anyway. So look at Northwestern as well.
Yeah, I believe that number now out to 2.5 in favor of the Purple Cats there. So,
they are now the favorite?
They are now the favorite. They flipped the favorite. So we will get into your NFL card to wrap up the show as well as give our final thoughts on college football. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many games on the board, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today and get your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Welcome back. This is the final segment here of the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out in Las Vegas with our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight and the College Football Betting Podcast. And of course, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey, where he's getting ready to take in all this college football action that we have. If you missed Eumanns' plays in the college football, either rewind it or maybe the podcast segment is already up right now here. it's at this time, it's kind of up against the wall here, but he has a lot of plays.
I've also got a weekly column up on VSiN.com with college football picks. I think... After a poor start, 35-21 over the past, 8 or 9 weeks.
Hell yeah. There we go. We love to hear that. Wow. The plays are doing well. So VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get the column for Eumanns' college football plays. Check that out before kickoff in about 20 minutes. All right, let's talk some NFL, though. We'll usually don't start with Monday Night Football, but it's the biggest game of the week. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl rematch, Eagles at the Chiefs. You have a play in this game right now. Kansas City, 2.5-point favorites across the board, but at DraftKings, 3 even money, total 45.5.
Go back to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts hurt the KC defense on the ground. He ran for 70 yards and 3 touchdowns in that game. Hurts has averaged 21 rushing yards over the past 3 games. He's got a sore knee, not running as much. He's also turned the ball over a lot more this season than he did last year. He's already thrown more picks than he did all of last season. I also think this Philadelphia defense is a little bit banged up, and KC, Patrick Mahomes can take advantage here. The identity of the Chiefs has kind of changed. You know, it's not a high-flying offense and Patrick Mahomes making a bunch of big plays, because he's kind of got a disconnect with his wide receivers. It's a lot about Travis Kelce. And the Kansas City defense right now is tied for number one in the NFL in scoring, 15.9 points per game. This is a much better defense than it was a year ago. I'll take that defense, Mahomes and KC laying less than a field goal on its home field. I think the Eagles, who are 5-1 in one score games, really have been playing with fire and probably not playing as well as the record indicates. And that's why I don't care if it's a Super Bowl rematch and you talk about revenge. I think a lot of that's nonsense. I'll lay the short number with the Chiefs on Monday night.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think anytime you get Mahomes for a short number, you got to take it. And look, they'll play well. It's hard to run the ball on the road in Kansas City. And Mahomes, what people don't realize, Mahomes isn't the problem. He's playing really well. The problem is they have 24 drops at receiver. 24. It's the most he's ever had in his... Last year, they only had 38. Only had 38 drops, or 33 last year. So, you know, they got to start catching the ball. And one of the guys they're counting on, Tony has been really disappointing. He averages 6 yards a catch. I think Andy Reid and Mahomes, I think this bye week came at the right time for them to help their offense.
Interesting. I don't make too much out of this, but Andy Reid is 21-3 straight up off a bye. Also, I agree with what you said about Tony. I think he's a bust. You can't have a wide receiver who drops balls. And yeah. That's the biggest problem.
It's line one of the job description.
These Kansas City wide receivers have been pretty disappointing. I'm still going to back the Chiefs here, laying 2.5.
Well, how about in the AFC North? Pittsburgh right now is a 2-point favorite, or 2-point underdog, excuse me, at DraftKings against the Cleveland Browns. It'll be Dorian Thompson-Robinson starting for the Browns. Total 33 here.
I'll make this quick. I mean, this is going to be the NFL version of Illinois-Iowa, right? It's going to be a really ugly offensive game. Dorian Thompson-Robinson was terrible in his first start. Well, I think he's going to be better in his second start, but it's more about the Browns' ability to run the ball and defense. It's going to control the game. The Steelers have been outgained in all 9 games. I'm getting annoyed watching the Steelers offense every week, and this team continues to win. Last week, the Packers +3.5 should have been the right side. Steelers find another way to win and cover a close game. I think the Browns get this one. I laid one, and if you reflect on that Monday night game early in the season in Pittsburgh, Deshaun Watson turned it over twice and handed the Steelers 14 points on 2 defensive scores. That was the difference in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And look, the one thing about the Browns, just have a hard time running. They only ran the ball 55 yards in that game. Mm-hmm. So if the Steelers can't run, and in the last 2 weeks they've run for 345 yards. And the last 2 weeks they've had over 20 first downs, which is not typical of a Steeler offense, predicated all off the run game. If you can't run, how are you going to move the football?
Seems it would be disadvantageous if you can't run the ball. How about in Houston? Texans coming off the big upset victory against Cincinnati last weekend. Now they're laying 6 at home against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, total 48.
The Arizona defense allowed 70 passing yards and 3.9 yards per play last week against offensive genius Arthur Smith and the Falcons. Now, you know what? To me, this is more about the hype, the media hype that's on Houston coming off the win at Cincinnati. You flip on ESPN or Fox on Monday, and all of a sudden you've got these talking airheads hyping C.J. Stroud for MVP and the Texans, you know, hyping up the Texans. That's a spot typically where you want to fade a team the next week. I think the Texans at 6-point favorites have kind of peaked in the betting market, where Kyler Murray makes the Cardinals a little bit more dangerous, and I think they are dangerous dogs in this game with Kyler Murray back and the defense is playing pretty well. And you're getting the Texans at the top of the market. You're betting against them laying 6 here. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals win this game.
Yeah, this has really moved in the last couple of days. I mean, the contest, Matt, which we keep track of, is 4.5, and now it's right up to 6. I think, to me, I don't know why everybody's playing Houston defensively. Houston has been very fortunate that Stroud has played well in the last couple of weeks because their defense really hasn't. I mean, the Bucs had a chance to win that game, and certainly Cincinnati did too if Tyler Boyd catches that pass. So sometimes we tend to get overexcited. I would definitely run away with the 6 if it was a play.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a play there for the Arizona Cardinals. How about in the AFC South? This one we have full agreement on here, humans. Titans at the Jaguars. Right now the line is sitting at 7.
You know, Michael just mentioned the Buccaneers and the numbers they put up against the Houston defense. If you put Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield side by side and you look at the numbers of the two quarterbacks, Mayfield's better in almost every category. I feel like he is. I think the Jaguars.
You know, Matt, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Matt, I got stats to back it up. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has only had one game in his career of over 9 yards per attempt. Mm-hmm. He's only had 4 over 8. Most of his career has been under 7 yards per attempt. And he's no better this year or last year than he was. This whole mythology, well, everything's changed because of Doug. You know, they're probably better offensively, they're more organized, but he hasn't responded. And when he doesn't play well at home. He averages right 8 yards per attempt on the road. He averages 6.1 at home.
Yeah, that's an odd stat, too. But I have never been really buying into the Jaguars, the Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence Jaguars. And, yeah, they're improved. But, you know, they're also playing in one of the worst divisions of football, and I think they've squeaked out some close games. Femi, just like you last week, I love the 49ers on the road in Jacksonville. I thought that's where the Jaguars were going to get exposed. Will Levis did not play well a week ago. But I think the Titans catching 7 here is a number you have to take. I'm not a believer in the Jags, bottom line.
I'm not either, man. I agree with you. I just had a hard time really getting comfortable with Levis. He played so poorly last week.
Yeah, he did, I know.
You know, tough. But I think 7's a lot. I think just to me, Levis is a one-play strike guy, not a consistent move the ball down the field, you know, where he's got to make 3 or 4, 5, 6 good throws.
That's a good way to put it. I would agree with that, too. And, hey, when you bet some of these dogs in the NFL, you're going to be uncomfortable. Okay,
yeah.
you're not going to be comfortable taking the Titans and the points.
Yeah, you mean Carolina?
How about the Panthers and how bad this offense has looked with Bryce Young? Frank Reich's going to take back play calling duties. I just hope the Dallas Cowboys are distracted and flat. You know, road favorites in the NFL of 7 points or more are 0-8-1 against the spread this season, and the Cowboys got another division game on deck for Thanksgiving. I think the Cowboys I hope they're going to be flat in this spot, and the Panthers stick around in a low scoring, ugly type of game, but that's not the type of dog you take, and you're super confident, you know?
No, it's
you're just playing the, I agree with you, Matt. I did it on Russo. I took it for my Russo contest only because I just felt like they're going to want to get out of town quickly and get to Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, when you look at the Cowboys on the road, the splits on the road, they're at a negative margin on the road. And if you throw out the Giants win and the 49er loss on the road, they are still 7 points in point differential off the road. I think it's the win, but I think they'll win by a touchdown.
You guys are fading America's real team, not the Michigan Wolverines. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Coming up on the DraftKings Network is Ross Tucker. Here at VSiN, those sports betting talk analysis continues with Live Bet Saturday, JVT, Pam Maldonado. Good luck with all the bets. We'll see you guys tomorrow here
Thank you,
on
Femi.
The DraftKings
Thanks.
Network.
Thanks, Matt. Safe trip.